Welcome to Ever Beyond. Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. And good evening. Welcome to Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio on Wolf Spirit Radio. It is 10 p.m. UK time. An hour earlier because it's Nightmare Fortnight. Yes, it's the 19th of March. It's between the time that America changes its time zone and daylight saving time, and Britain changes its daylight. In fact, the rest of the world changing its daylight saving time. So everything is screwed up, and everybody's a half an hour late or half an hour early or just completely confused. And so it's completely understandable that everybody's in a discombobulated fashion this day because, as I said, it's Nightmare Fortnight. So welcome to this strange universe that we live in. And as Sean says, it's a strange universe, but we just work here. And so adding to tonight's strangeness, we have Sandra Daroy. Is that right? Wait, is it Daroy or Daroy? How do you pronounce it?
I'm still confused.
All right, you're still confused. All right. We're going to be discussing the 12 strands of DNA activation, or the 12, I've forgotten it now.
Awakening of 12 strands.
That's the one. Awakening of 12 strands. I know it's something to do with 12 and awakening and strands and things, but I did, and in fact, I did get around to, scraping the time to watch it over the last 24 hours. My eyes get, I'm really busy. People send me stuff all the time and I have to, edit, video and stuff. So, my eyes get tired all the
time.
Amazing. Yeah, so, I did manage to, squeeze in some time and I did watch it and, I love, you know what I love is seeing, movies that people make and, it's got London in it. And it's like, there's the 29 bus, and it's like, oh, right, there you go. That must be up in, you know, Palmer's Green or somewhere like that, or, you know, somewhere on the, in the Haringey area or something like that. And,
So. Did you get the link? You saw it, yeah?
Oh, actually, yeah, I watched the movie today. So, I've seen
amazing.
It all the way through. So there's Kerry Cassidy is in it as well. So here's the thing. It's it's got a little of the mystique of 2001. There's very little dialogue at the beginning. And it's all kind of, it's very much a sort of feeling zone and a kind of, waiting tension kind of thing. So do you want to tell us, first of all,
Though?
I did get it.
You need to watch it a couple of times. Uh-huh. It's very subliminal due to lack of time to continue filming a 3-hour film. It's almost 2 hours. It's 1 hour 45 minutes. And so you will notice more things when you watch it second, third time. I don't know. Do you know Ben Emmeline Jones, who released his book, Roswell Rising, a very good friend of mine, very cool guy. Do you know him? No?
No. I don't know many people. I don't know if people have been on my show.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So I know Kerry. Kerry Cassidy, who appears in your movie, I know her. But there was another name that appears in it and that escapes me at the moment.
Peter Padgett,
that's right. He's a name that is familiar, but I don't know his stuff. So tell us about how you connected with these people. I have over 40 actors in there. All right. Tell us, you know, how you connected with these people, and they say, and you know, you want to be in my movie? Yeah. Well, yeah, sure. You know, so is it like, do you kind of collect little bits of clips here and there when you're going around, and then you add it all together to make the movie?
Oh God almighty. Wow. I really don't know what to say, Jay. I started the...
You wanted to come on my show. You gotta know what to say.
I really don't know where to start because this...
Okay, so let's start.
I'm surprised I even published the Awakening of 12 Strands because it took me 6 months to edit the movie. I wrote it, I produced it, I directed it, I edited it, and acted it. So I started writing it 2 years ago, and while you're making a movie, there are over 30 scenes, 30 to 35 scenes. And some of the scenes, it took us at least 3-4 months to even coordinate, to even cast, to even get the actors and get them there. And some canceled and couldn't find the facility. So, each and every scene, I just wish, that, you know, I really now, when I look at movies, I really appreciate the effort and work that has been put in there. So it's over 500, minimum, you know, hours of filming, probably, you know, 1,000 and 500 plus hours editing, you know, and in the end, I lost all the scenes on one of the external drives, the new scene. So, I had to re-edit and I was up till, there was, I lost at least, 10 scenes that I had completely polished for the last one. I never recovered them. That external drive has been, it's underground, but, pretty much, very strange things started to happen towards the end when it crashed and I started re-editing just for the people out there who are interested in the UFO, topic. During the last 2 weeks, and I was up till 5, 6 a.m., the movie has real UFO footage, and I happened to be up very late, again, editing, and I woke up, looked out of my window, 11:11, very symbolic, and I saw the object, and it was hovering there for at least 7-10 minutes, you know, before noon, and then I slow motioned the video clip, and I saw three more objects. So the idea is that you know, it's very authentic, the entire thing, the way I put it together. Yeah, I'm still laughing. Wow.
I'm still laughing. My text has just disappeared. I just typed in something in, and it's like I'm in invisible ink. Huh? The hell?
What happened?
My computers have been very strange today. I don't know whether it's interference or just because I'm interviewing you. So look, let's put things into context. Let's put things
into
context.
You need to start communicating with the positive artificial intelligence. That is what happened with me when I was editing. I felt like there's the, well, I've known this for a while that there's a positive AI as well, but there was proof of that while I was doing it. Anyways,
The thing is, let's get people into context because, you know, because I've seen your movie and they haven't, we need to get people across to see the movie, you see, so you need to show people what it is inside the movie that makes, absolutely, would make them want to watch the movie, and also what your story is that brought you into making it. Why did you have to, why were you compelled to make this film?
It's very difficult, Jay, to talk about it because when I did the show with Ben on WHBO, we were trying, I was trying to be careful not to give away too many spoilers, you see. Yes, you're right. There's, in the beginning especially, there's not much dialogue and it's very subliminal. I had someone review the film, saying that it had a very similar approach. This was a compliment to David Lynch films. I believe that is his first name.
Yeah, there's a bit of the Twin Peaks about it. It's the
David Lynch.
Yeah, David Lynch was started the Twin Peaks series.
But I don't know. I'm not familiar with his movies, to be honest. So I had to Google him, and I have, of course. Then it came to me his name and face, and yes, I. But this I didn't really plan that. I just went with the flow because I didn't. I lacked experience. My first movie, Walking Case, that featured in the Bases Film Festival. The Bases Project is organized by a guy and my friend, actually, Miles Johnson. And in Walking Case, that was a short film. It was 20 minutes long. I'm redoing that actually now soon. Anyways, it had a similar approach. I did that movie in 2014. In Awakening of 12 Strands, I felt like it was, like I resonated with that sort of, I have to say there was dialogue, Jay, because, in the beginning, it's very important with Awakening of 12 Strands to look at at least the first 7 scenes because they are interconnected to the end of the movie. If there's 30 to 35 scenes, then the movie is very subliminal, and in the beginning it's the introduction of all the characters. So in the first at least 5 scenes, you're gonna see quite a lot of actors there. Awakening of 12 Strands, I thought that, you know, I'm interested in acting, and there I wanted to give myself a role because I wanted to as well make sure that the story is told correctly. So I played a girl called Jasmine, and Jasmine is a young lady in her mid-20s that has been diagnosed with HIV. And in the beginning, it introduces all the characters, even her, you know, from the beginning when she was born. So the mother is there, and even the father briefly, and some other characters that I cannot tell you because it would be a spoiler. But there was a pretty intellectual dialect going on between the other characters because the topics in Awakening of 12 Strands, there's at least 24, well, let's say at least confirmative 12 topics. And, okay, let's just name them for the sake of it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, because, Sandra, can I just, like, interject in this? Because the, you know, the 12 Strands is a very open subject. And it's, when I say it's open, it's like nobody knows, seemingly, nobody knows definitively what it is and what they do. And we've all got a little piece of the puzzle. So, is there a hidden, sequence in your film where one by one, each of the scenes describes the opening of one of the strands?
Absolutely. In the beginning, so let's cover some of the topics. It talks about public health, corruption, you know, hence why she was diagnosed with HIV. In comes the problem solution action, and it develops rapidly into an active journey of this young woman. That's, you know, has been told she's, you know, very ill. And then it starts with a spiritual awakening of her, and then it leads on to more and complex sort of nuances that that are part of the title. You know, you can take it, and everyone will see it in their own from their own angle. Some do not have a clue what it means, awakening of 12 strands. Some people don't even understand what means manifestation or affirmations. Funny enough, today I just spoke about these things, and the person asked me, what are manifestations and affirmations? What does it mean? Because, and you know, it's and this is the other topic that I'm talking about in Awakening the 12 Strands, is the parallel realities that everybody's existing in, and the splitting of the cell that is literally happening in front of our eyes. It's been happening already since 2003, after the millennium. But anyways, so the scenes are breaking it down, and because I was lacking the time to really, and I didn't want to be direct. I wanted to be subliminal because that is just my style of writing. And the way I want to put, anyways, people are past the ABCs, Jay. They said that when they looked at it the second time, the third time, then they started seeing even more things, you know, more topics there. So, you know, that's the answer to your question, that it starts with a spiritual and then more actually alchemy, biochemistry related changes, and more complex, so it goes all the way to disclosure and actually who are behind it and what is behind those changes. So
I'll tell you, there's one scene that really struck me, and again, it's got this very surreal kind of atmosphere about it. You're in, obviously, an English public house, a pub, and
don't make a spoiler.
Well, you know, you gotta say something. I mean, you can't just keep the whole movie a secret. That's what, you know, yeah. People need to know what this is about. But you get, you know, there's an interaction that goes on there that appears to be somebody breathing in the air around you. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, I love the way you said that. Breathing in the air around you.
Yeah, it was like if you were a planet, he'd be sucking in your atmosphere.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. You definitely, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, and
you got the.
So, do you want to talk about that exchange there? Well, you know, was this something that actually came in your reality? Did you experience it?
Very good question. Majority of the scenes in the movie are real life stories, and they are unfortunately not even as colorful as they actually happened, Jay. They happened in much more emphasized and more aggressive and more way, but due to limited facilities, tools, and lack of time, so I tried to portray that. So it's all kinds of stuff over the years, interactions, stories, and research. I'm not going to say that it's my personal experience. It's not important. But I'm very so you like that scene, It's true story, darling. Very, very serious stuff goes on in the world, and that's a negative scene there. And when you go to the end of the movie, then that there is a solution to that. Did you see that bit in the end of the movie? At least it's fine if you didn't. They're very short scenes and very run one by one. So in the end, there's sort of like coming back to that problem
And people especially like the, how that problem was solved in the end of the movie. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
the first five scenes at least, are gonna be confronted in the end.
And it's the resolution of that is the awakening of those 12 strands. So for instance, I mean, it looked in that scene like the female was, in some sort of trance. You know, she couldn't do anything about it. It seems, against her free will. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. But violation of free will. And that's why the undertitle Awakening of Soul Strands is called Manual to Forms of Manipulations, which is, covers at least 5-6 topics that I talk about and is, been my research for the past at least 10 years. I'm 33 now, but I already had interest in these, problems, a long time ago because I started noticing, especially during, my self-practice as a psychologist, people were coming with the same kind of like problems, and I was associating it that there's something going on in the world against free will. So
now that is a very good scene we can explore without having to go into all your movie details.
Do try to watch the second half of the movie, darling, because
of course
7 feet. Yeah, it's absolutely okay if you didn't, because it really is the first time. It falls down to lack of experience as well, but I did feel like the movie ran in a logical, chronological order, I mean. So, yeah, definitely if you get time. Yeah, it's a long movie, and of course you're a busy man, so.
Yeah, I mean, it took me at least 2 weeks to find the time to watch that in two halves. Let's say, so.
Of course.
You know,
yeah.
That's why I like that. You know, I like the nutshell version. I could watch the trailer and see the whole thing. But, so, you know, again, you want people to watch this movie, right? You want people to go there. Is there a website that leads them into it? How do people get in there? How do people see it? And, you know, you want to explain to people why they want to see it, don't you?
I did an interview with Miles on the Basis Project, so I was explaining about the topics as well. If you Google my name, Sandra, as you hear it, S-A-N-D-R-A, Daroy, D for Delta, I'm sounding like a police, so...
That's okay. people are used to Delta Echo. You know, I use it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Daroy, A for Apple, R for Robert, O for Oscar, Y for Yellow. So Daroy, D-A-R-O-Y. And if you put that on YouTube, you'll see all kinds of interesting interviews. And the movie is available on Vimeo, Vimeo on demand. Many people publish their stuff there, like Project Camelot as well. Carrie Seltzer charges some of her interviews, and as well Basis Project and others. It's good. It's very safe to use, so you can just sign up. Takes a few minutes, or you log in with your Facebook, and it's. I've dropped the price now deliberately. It's less than £3. You rent it for 1 year, the movie. And it's Vimeo. It's V-I-M-E-O. And if you want to go directly to the link, it's vimeo.com/on-demand/awakening-of-12-strands. And then bang, the trailer will pop up, all the reviews, comments from other viewers, and then you just click on rent, less than £3, £2 something, £2.50, and then you sign in. It's very safe. It's as popular as Amazon. And the Facebook page is old page that I have the trailer on is facebook.com/ walk-in case film. It was difficult for me to publish on the original site, so I started publishing the trailer on that one. So / walk-in case. Walk-in case film, sorry. Walk-in case film. And the website.
Hang on, where was that? What was the first part?
That was Facebook.
Facebook group is walk-in case film. Is that right? Okay. Go ahead.
And then the other one is / it's again a Facebook page. It's Awakening of 12 Strands. Only that. No film, just Awakening of 12 Strands. Awakening of 12 Strands. 12 is with numbers 1, 2. Very important. 1 and 2. So Vimeo link is /
Yeah, I've got that. On demand, Awakening of 12 Strands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've got the Facebook.com Awakening of 12 Strands. So you don't have Awakening of 12 Strands.com yet?
Had been built. I need to restructure it. And gonna have the website, but Facebook is very active and I just started a group on Facebook that I'm giving away the movie for free. I'm giving free Vimeo access codes. If you join in after the show, if you reference JP Ever Beyond Radio, so the group is called Awakening of 12 Strands. Just put it on the Facebook search engine. Awakening of 12 Strands in bracket Sandra DeRoy. Sandra DeRoy. DaRoy. As you hear it. And then I'll give you free access to the movie as a present.
Oh, that's fabulous. So anybody who wants to go there, do that and you'll get one free. That's fabulous. So, thank you very much on behalf of whoever takes up that offer. Now, yes, as we were saying that, you know, this, you noticed as a psychologist that certain groups of people were reporting certain inattentions, neuroses, complexes, or was it a series of different parts of those that made up some kind of picture that you were starting to see?
Absolutely. Yeah. The picture was clear to me, actually, before that already. I had a fishy feeling that things are really not the way as they seem. And I don't know. The thing is that my background, master's degree, is in public health sciences, leadership, and pharmaceutical WHO legislations. So, wait. I thought I had.
Yeah, someone just went. you just got. I thought somebody's put in the electric chair again.
I'm sorry. After the coffee break, I'll switch over to my, to me computer.
Yeah, that's the way. We don't like the iPhones. Anyway, meanwhile, go on. It is an iPhone, isn't it? I recognize that vibration.
It is not
an iPhone.
It is not. It is a OnePlus 3.
Oh.
OnePlus 3. Completely different approach.
Uh-huh. Okay, meanwhile, go on.
Now. It's fun to talk to you, Jay. Background in public health sciences. I founded a non-profitable organization and then that was an eye-opener experience. I did that back home due to the work market and lack of the jobs. Everything kind of self-initiated because, obviously, we know what's going on in the world, you know. If you have qualifications, then many people, they really don't end up working in their field or they have to initiate it themselves. Frustrated me. But anyways, it happened for a reason that when I started applying for certain national funding with public health, with the local government. It was 1.5 million was going to be divided before between four non-profitables, and obviously it was pre-agreed and, in my opinion, fraudulent. Again, another, you know, kind of confirmation, many confirmations. And I learned it, got me master's degree, and I started noticing very interesting things on the Agenda 21 and WHO statistical and other statistical prognoses that are actually public, available online. And when I was composing the business plan, etc., so it was pretty clear to me that a majority of things in the world that are operating are just for generating purposes, and there is a very they're not really interested to improve anything. So it is another very interesting realization, actually, how it's been built up, the entire matrix, the generating machine. Even the reason why I'm in a zone now, I want to tell you everything.
Tell me everything. That's why I want to know. That's why you're here. You have to tell me everything. It's important. You never know. Tomorrow, you know, there might be, that film might be all that's left of you, you know. It's like, now your time, like the present.
Yeah. You think it hasn't crossed my mind. Well, anyways, I feel content after, putting it out there. It's a generating, it's a circulating system, how it's been all set up. You need to give something a little bit back in order to receive what you really are after. A majority of their agendas are not positive. So in order for them to achieve that, all these large organizations, they have to make it into a machine, a generating, like the banking system, and you circulate. So in order you get what you want, then you make it seem like you're giving something back, but yet you need to give something back in order to receive, whether it's good or bad. They're aware of that. And actually, it's a very strong form of component when you want to better your own life and manifestation. You need to start doing the spiral and generate in your own life. I talk about the spiral and awakening of tall strands, how to improve with art. So there's a scene where Jasmine is talking to a woman that she becomes very close friends with, that is a distant friend of someone like Rauni Luukkonen, public health lady from Finland who died a few years back. Have you heard of her? Rauni Luukkonen, UFO expert, yeah. Anyway, so had this scene there, and it is very important, the spiral and the circle. When you look at even the movie poster, I have two circles there.
Yeah, I noticed that there's one of the crop circles that you have a lovely bit of drone footage over. It's almost a perfect spiral. How many light, you know, grooves out is it? It's like seven or something.
I worked with really cool people. Synchronicity took me to amazing people, Jay. That drone, crop circle is done by the best crop circle guy in the country, Matthew Williams. And I went specially in order for me, I didn't get that, obviously authentic crop circle footage, but he let me integrate that into the intro of the movie.
Cause you know, these things disappear after a couple of days.
Drone shots were authentic. We went literally down to the Avery and Salisbury, megalithic rock circles, and that took us at least 2 months to organize, and I'm telling you, the effort put in, it's unbelievable. Hours.
It's different from the home movie, it really is.
Yeah, absolutely. You mean that crop circle is different? What do you mean, darling?
There's different, you know, making a feature film is different from making a home movie. There's a lot more planning involved, you see, what you're talking about, yes? So, again, back to your psychology and what you were seeing about the people. There was something that was common. When I do these Ray readings on the radio, because I do several at a time, it's, to me, it's a barometer. It's like, how are people? How are people evolving? Because by reading the Rays, I can tell how people, you know, what sort of level of initiation people are at. You know, and also people, you know, will tell you.
Your Ray readings are very good.
Thank you.
They're very good.
And they
I really think people should do your reading. How do you do that? Please explain.
Oh.
Because I was really, as they say, gobsmacked when you explained me through that reading. I was like, wow. How? Tell me.
Well, it's, by having done, the process myself, I am able to connect in with my highest self, which is what's called the monad. And by doing so, I can then tune into other people's, you can't really say other people's monad, because we're all one. The monad is the one that we all are, that we all are an aspect of, a diamond facet of. And so by connecting with, see, your phone agrees, by connecting with my monad, I connect in with your monad, and, I can tell, what frequency it's on, and, that tells me what level your, evolution is.
So, wait a minute. Can you repeat that term?
Monad. M-O-N-A-D. Okay, so here's the thing. Right, here's the correspondence, because the world is, the occult world is corresponded.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. You have your physical, emotional, and mental bodies. Yeah?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, on the spiritual octave of that, we have the personality, the soul, and the monad in the same relationship. Okay, so personality is our to our soul, our personality is its physical body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then your soul is the emotions that drive it. And then the monad is the thinking part of it. So it's the highest form of thinking. It's the highest form of us. And it's the thing that is connected with the one and the source. Okay. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. So monad for other people is our source connection. Yeah. And I'm very connected with mine. And so as I connect with mine, I connect with others, and then I can trace through down, by using dowsing, just simple muscle checking. It's again, I've been doing it for such a long time that I can do it with one hand, or I can do it with both hands, actually. Sometimes I do it with both hands. If I'm feeling particularly doubtful, you know, I want to, eliminate any overlay crosstalk that will disturb my readings, I do it with both hands. So, you know, I get both my electrical bodies to...
Well, it's like theta healing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, theta healing is uses the index finger and the thumb to reprogram this subconsciousness. It's repetitive. So theta healing, muscle testing is... Absolutely, I use muscle testing to check the food and as well check my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically for me, how it works is that if there's chi flowing in your body, then your fingertips are magnetically attracted to each other. And it is just like a magnet. And, when chi stops flowing, then your fingers come apart. And when you're connected in with truth, then chi flows. And that's why Samson works. Like, a righteous person is strong because they have chi in their body. It's all, it's very simple, you know, and so they say, you know, the truth will set you free. I say the truth will actually make you strong. And in a way, if you ever have a decision that you need to make, this is not you, but personally, but for anybody, if you have a decision you need to make, feel which choice makes you feel strong.
That's absolutely. You're gonna become more
connected to it, and that's how I always argue with skeptics. They're like, how do you know? Well, normally with a level A thinking skeptic, I would have to be, how do I know? Because of this qualification, this master's degree, this PhD failed candidate, and this and that, and this work experience here and there. But then I say, how are you going to question me? I have my installed navigator. That is what I'm tuning into. And obviously you need to be careful because the forms of manipulation from the astral plane and all around us, there's so many, I don't want to even say it, nasty characters. So anyways, it takes repetition and practice, and then at some point you're going to be like, this is it. I'm pretty sure.
It's a way of connecting with your absolute truth of yourself. Because,
absolutely.
You know, the only reason chi will flow is if the whole circuit's working. It won't work if part of the circuit's not, you know, if you've got something malfunctioning, it won't work. And so you have to be whole in order for this
absolutely.
To work.
Absolutely. Yeah. In the awakening of tall strands, I want to support your thought, Jay. You know why I want to support your thought is because you're talking about tuning into the universal pulse. It is all is numbers, numerology, mathematics, and it's a tone that we don't really hear, but you start hearing it. So in the movie scenes, when Jasmine is closing her eyes and she's leaning into the meditation state, is catching that wave. Have you ever heard the saying by some successful people, you ask them, how are you so successful in what you do? And they're like, it's all about timing. They take their time and you sense them that they're manipulating time and space, like Jasmine in the movie. In the end, when she does the Qigong exercise, the flying dragon, so she's catching that universal impulse and that wave. And then she is timing all her decisions and actions, and that is how she manipulate time and space, go back and rectify. So I think this is what you're referring to. It's about when you're breathing and you're really resonating. Unfortunately, I haven't done Qigong now lately due to, I don't know, had to be reminded, but I'm going to go back to it. I really put emphasis to that in the movie. I really recommend it. It's a very, very useful tool. That is a spiritual thing. Of course, you need to switch your Wi-Fi off that the scalar wave is not going to read, but it's possible. Yeah, I really live like that, Jay. I'm switching it already off the Wi-Fi. I'm pretty convinced that what they're releasing there in every 30 minutes or even less is something that is that sound. You need to turn off the sound, the noise, in order to go into that deep state and connect to the source. So the reason why I turn it off, the Wi-Fi, is because it is deliberately out there, splashing it out there to the public domain, and it's stimulating the frontal lobe that is in charge of organizing and staying calm and being your real true balanced self. It's all these forms. Did I make any sense?
Maybe you need to express that in a slightly different angle. But, you know, you use the word forms there. Now, this is a very interesting word because, you know, people talk about forms. What's a form? A form can be a piece of paper with some directed writing on it. They invite you to fill in the boxes. A form is also a thing that you may spray some material on, like papier-mâché or concrete, to hold a particular shape. that you then build up on, like, you know, like a skeleton that you then put the flesh on top, that is a basic structure. A form is also a thing that is spoken of in different martial arts, like you were saying. The, what did you call it? The something dragon? No.
Qigong.
Yeah, what was the name of the movement?
A flying dragon.
Flying dragon. It's also known as a form. So, mm-hmm. And form also means a way. You know, it means many, many things. So, that's why when I looked at your subtitle of the film, which is Manual to Form... can you explain what you mean by
Manual to Forms and Manipulation?
Yes.
So, let's say, during the soul practice...
Actually, I'm sorry, Sandra. You know, Sandra, could you speak closer to the mic, please?
Oh, okay. Is it better now?
Yeah, because you get a kind of phasing effect if you're too far away and you...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, face the mic, please.
Absolutely. Sorry. Different forms of manipulation. So in the movie covering some forms that are responsible for the problems in people's lives. Jasmine is a girl that everything is falling apart. She practically has very little. She doesn't have any love in her life. She doesn't have, due to that, no friends. Only one that really cares about her, that she notices maybe, is her mother. Of course, there are wonderful strangers, distant friends that do care about her and advise her. But pretty much relationships with distant and close people are falling apart. Financial life is zero, almost. Health is down the hill. She is an adult woman. She doesn't have any respect for men. And therefore she doesn't have a normal love life, or, you know, that maybe she should have. This happens to many people. So during my research, I associated that to many things. I mentioned, a thing that people don't talk about. It's archonic soul bounty hunting. Archonic soul bounty hunting is, as you hear it, the term, it's something that is not connected to the current life only. It's connected to the past lives. That's why it's very important to watch the movie from the beginning till the end, because they are all connected. In between is just building up the story. Then I talk about jinn. Manipulation and, how do you say, curses, past life, current life, curses, and, there I bring, I didn't unfortunately have time to integrate, shamanic scene with, Red Indian sweat lodges. I have very, very interesting information about that. Anyways, for each problem, I suggest a remedy in the movie. So anyone who's facing with these problems that I just named, that they feel they're in the situation, I think they could benefit from this movie, that they can get some inspiration, because it's very hard work. Like I said, this takes, like, hard work every day. But if you work on these certain remedies through shamanic affirmation, spiritual biochemistry, and art is very important, then it's something that the universe will not ignore. And it's going to activate, and you're going to manifest a completely different reality. And we're living in these times now where it will manifest well in a very short time already, but you need to do it right. You need to do it with loving and positive attention, intention. And, other forms is, forms of manipulations that I mentioned are nutrition. My background is I'm a bioresonance practitioner. It means testing for food allergies. So I have a very, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie where she's in the canteen talking to her colleague and the boss walks in. It's, cause I do integrate comedy in the movie as well.
That was quite an interesting thing. So, there's this scene where, you have a potential that you could get sacked, energy between you and the boss. And, your colleague is saying, nah, it's all right. Look at her. She's eating a lasagna. She's no, as we say in Scotland, no stranger to a fish supper. She likes her food and, your character there describes, like she's like a healer or something. And she's describing, you got no problem now. You know, if you approach her in the next 20 minutes, she'll be very amenable to whatever you say. She's high as a kite. She's Hendrix high.
Oh, yeah. I love that CJ. So, oh, really? I love that one. Oh God, I love that. I had fun writing that one.
Is that part of your, did somebody explain that to you and you actually, did that work with you?
No, that is exactly how that is me talking to Jasmine, by the way, the colleague. That is exactly how I talk. So when you see, you're going to notice that is actually Sandra DeRoy talking there. Yeah, really passionate, slightly fanatical about that topic. This is
really, I never noticed that she was particularly dominating. It was really quite a humorous scene.
I love that scene. I love it. It's so true. And that's exactly how we're living in this world. So because I was being subliminal, Jay, and the thing is that actually I wanted to be more, specific about, with the ingredients. Let's say she's an addict. There are all kinds of addicts. She's addicted to unhealthy carbs and animal protein. But if I really wanted to write it, I would have said that she's addicted to wheat products, wheat and grain products, and I'm a vegetarian. I'm not a vegan. I eat egg, but I would have said dairy, animal protein. Dairy. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you live your life wheat and dairy free, that you can eliminate the, you can really be at your prime awakening of 12 strands. Biochemistry, alchemy is absolutely a must, you know.
Yeah.
And it's what we're being suppressed from. So this scene I wanted to make sure that people pay attention.
I'm going to make you laugh now. You see, I recognized this same situation. I recognized it a couple of years ago. And so what I did is after I gave up, eating the yeast, because I focused it down. It's the problem is the overgrowth of yeast as it gets into your body and it starts feeding on you. And forming colonies in your body. And then these colonies become like a radio aerial that then, hijacks your, nervous system and your craving system. Basically, they hook in and put the craving frequency of sugar in.
But yeast is, probiotic in a way. It's a bacteria.
Yeah, it's an entity.
Yes, absolutely.
You see what happens? You know, if you leave a sandwich for 2 weeks, blue stuff, that grows in your body and becomes a colony, a huge colony. And what I found is, you know,
MMS.
In the old days, when people ate steak, you would hit the steak with a hammer, and that would make it sweeter and more tender. And
sorry, could you repeat that?
Steak. You know, like you people eat a beef steak. In the old, you know, when in the old days when we all ate steak and, you know, ate meat, preparing the steak, you would hit it with a hammer. You know, we remember that?
Uh-huh.
A little spiky hammer.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Mm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
that made the meat sweeter.
Uh-huh.
And this is the connection.
I always
here.
Thought about that. Yeah.
This is the connection.
But the
here.
Thing is that,
hang on.
The thing is, hang is on. Yeah, go on.
I was going to say, is that this blue
what's
stuff
thought,
is looking
what's
for sugar.
Side?
I'm a Pisces.
God.
It's my birthday yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Remember? So, but here's the thing. This blue stuff, this nung, I call it the nung, right? This being that grows inside your own body. I call it the nung. And it causes you to crave all these things. But it's got two things. It's lonely and it's hungry. And it makes you feel, you know, makes me feel lonely and hungry. And it makes me, oh, I want more of something. Oh, I know. I'll go down the pub. All right. I'll go down to the bakery and have some. And, you know, you're ingesting yeast, which I believe is an ancient nanotechnology.
Yes.
Right? Let's take it all the way back. Hang on. Let's use the Wayback Machine. Nope. Doesn't work. Oh, nothing works today.
Interesting.
There we go. There's a Wayback Machine. Here we go. And we go all the way back to ancient Egypt, which I know is another one of your interests. So I believe that the ruling faction gave beer and bread to the masses in order to create this thing consciously. And it is the vector is through beer and bread, because think about it, every country has a beer. And what do beer people do? They march. People being there march through the streets and, you know, going, it's going to destroy the things that aren't us.
But the thing is that beer is made from grain.
Mm-hmm.
Because I drink alcohol, so when I went grain free, I drank wine, and it made a big difference, because wine is still made with yeast, but I started noticing that when I was drinking grain-based vodka and beer, it was much more. So now when I drink only wine and fizzy drinks, like, let's say, champagne, I don't drink, obviously, the fizzy drinks, but I'm saying alcoholic. The grain now, you can finish your story. The yeast is absolutely, yeah. I want to add to that. Go
All
on.
Right, so... Here's the thing, parasitic entity that lives beneath your skin, which I've called the nung, you know, everybody's bored with my name, but anyways, thenung.com, because it gives you this craving that makes you want to eat bread, you know, nung, 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 nung. It's a very low consciousness, you know, it's got a consciousness, but not very high. All it wants to do is eat and, you know, hang out.
Because that is how cancer spreads.
Well, so when you it's take the same thing.
MMS, absolutely.
It's the same thing.
That's why.
Yes.
But this is it, Jay. Mm. So the thing is that public health corruption, that's why they're attacking Jim Humble and MMS.
Oh, and absolutely. And all these things
because,
and Borax and all that.
Because when you do the protocol 1000 with chloride dioxide citric acid, one drop every hour, you're going to cure cancer. You are, because cancer is fungicide.
Yes.
So
coming back, it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cancer is the fungus that grows out of what started out as yeast. And
absolutely.
If the environment
the
is correct,
yeah. mm-hmm.
then it becomes a tumor, and then it becomes a cancer. But so here's the thing. Yeah, absolutely right. Anything alkaline, MMS. I've been talking about using borax. But we have, you know, we have all the stories that all many different approaches to the same thing. Because it's very much like what, you know, people used to put lime on their grass, on their gardens. To alkalize the soil, because in an alkaline soil, different things grow. Some things grow better, and the things that we need grow better, you know. And mm-hmm. in the same yeah. way, we need to alkalize our bodies. But here's the thing. Back to the tenderized meat. I believe that if people are beaten, you know, traumatized, then they create the circumstance for this parasite to grow and colonize, because it's a sweet area, you see, which is why people, when they're injured in a place, get a that, you know, it produces an energy, and the parasite goes towards that growing energy. It doesn't know that it is. It's not trying to do it. It's just going there because it's sweeter. That's my theory, anyway, of why cancers mm-hmm. form in places where you're traumatized. I just wanted to share that.
This is stuff that people are talking about. You know, the brain, it was initiated with the
Sandra,
banking system. Can you hear me?
Yeah, your audio is going out a bit. Are you swinging around in your chair?
Okay, I'm going to go back.
That's right. Stay in the same place. Because it's a radio transmitter, you know, and you don't have to go. Also, you've got to make sure that your head's not on the other side of the Wi-Fi. You know, that your you know, your phone's on the other, on the same side as the otherwise it's going to go through your head. So anyway, meanwhile, so you were talking about that with the.
I was saying that with the grain, it was initiated when the banking system was initiated to the. Grain and wheat, it was the seed, was modified into a certain type that eliminates the so-called gluten, and the gluten causes to calcify your body. So that's why I'm free from it. And that is, you become completely free because the grain within itself, this gooey stuff called gluten, it's going to block your energy flows. So the combination with your theory, let's say, if someone is eating that sandwich that contains the grain and the yeast, it is deadly. I know. I can tell you personal stories. So when I went free from grain and yeast, you're completely unblocking those energy channels. So the calcium agenda, it is so serious, Jay, that that's why they say decalcify your pineal gland, because they did that agenda specifically because sometimes the calcium layer around the pineal gland can be an inch and around the brain. So the signals, that's why you become completely numb. And then you add a little fluoride water to it. And of course, war of zombies. Everybody's numb. Their senses are numbed down. So when you go on the detox and you get rid of the grain and the calcium and the yeast and the fluoride, then you're absolutely but then you need to put your shield on because you're going to be really open in this recovery period. For one tablespoon of wheat is 90 days, because I've studied a little bit biochemistry, self-taught, and recovery period is long, because, okay, you're going to get rid of it, but it's going to affect your neurological nervous system, and to detoxify it from the brain, it takes 6 months, 12 months. So when you're eating in the other very bad component that I'm completely free from and it has changed my life is soya lecithin. Soya lecithin. It is a artificial gooey substance. Sunflower lecithin is very healthy, but soya lecithin, they are putting it absolutely in everything. A chocolate over 70%, less than 70% will have soya lecithin. A dark chocolate with 80%, they will not have that. and they usually put it in desserts and sweet stuff. So soyalettepine has a very similar characteristic to yeast. Very similar. Makes you into a cookie monster.
Cookie. So nung. Nung. That's, you see, this is it. This is the nung consciousness. It just wants to eat. So listen, let's decalcify everybody's pineal glands. All right. I've got this. This is my, one of my favorite ever tracks. Frank Zappa, with Sugarcane Harris. And this will decalcify your brain. It's called Directly From My Heart to You. Check this. It's the electric violin on it. It's just fabulous. Kind of. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. And welcome back to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. And Wolf Spirit Radio is indeed a listener-supported station. It's supported by donations, and it's supported by subscription to our archives, which are vast. Vast. We go back many years. We have been on the internet before 2012, before everybody got on. And we've been making fabulous interviews with lots of wise people over the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. The archives and the breadth of information just gets bigger and bigger. So, and it's only $5 a month, and it doesn't drag it out of you. You can unsubscribe anytime you like. You have to opt in rather than opt out. So, having said that, thank you very much. Tomorrow,
I will promote that.
Okay, good, good. For the moment, I also just want to promote tomorrow is a kind of relaunch. Excuse me, I just have to have some of that coffee. We are going to be starting some new shows tomorrow. We'll be playing Answers from the Universe at 1 p.m. Pacific. That's what is that in the UK? That's 9 o'clock in the evening. No, it isn't. It's 8 o'clock tomorrow. It's usually 9 o'clock, but in this Nightmare Fortnite, it's 8 o'clock, so that's quite complicated. Why did I start it today? Well, everybody wanted to start today. So we'll have Answers from the Universe with Andronicus Transmissions in a later slot, more prime time. And then we'll have Sean David Morton with Strange Universe. And then we'll have the return of Journeys with Rebecca, Jernigan, followed by a brand new host, who is Joanna the Medium from Vancouver, Canada. And then another show with a host who's been with us for a while, but in a different slot. He was on Saturdays. He's now going to be on Mondays, so we'll get a completely different audience, and that's Knighton Warbeck. Very interesting fellow. Indeed. So, now, I don't know why that happened, but my mic just stop working. Okay. So yes, so I've got a lot of technical issues tonight, and I'm wondering if anything's got in under my skin. So I'm going to check for that in a couple of seconds. My guest tonight is Sandra Darroy, and we're talking about her stop it. We're talking about I'm going to replace you, Cable. I told you I was going to replace you.
Uh-huh.
We were talking about talking to inanimate objects earlier. And, you know, people say, oh, yes, well, I talk to my car. You know, I talk to cables. You know, lampstands, you know. Why are you doing that? Anyway, so I don't know why it cuts out. I might have to change channels. Well, we'll see. It says signal all the time. I wonder what's wrong. Anyhow, as I said, we are on with Sandra Darroy. Now, let's start again. We're talking about the awakening of the 12 strands. We were talking, you see, and this is part, I believe, Sandra, of the, how can we say it? The sleepening, process that they have been trying to do, because, you know, we're talking about awakening. You know, something went to sleep. Something was made to go to sleep. Oh, by the way, if you and anybody else are hearing a sound. It comes from the chat room. So if you go down to the bottom right of the chat room, you'll see a little loudspeaker symbol. And if you click on that and say never, that will stop that annoying little sound. There you go. Well done. Oh, Dark Skies. Yes. Great. The original Dark Skies series from 1987, I think. Fabulous. So, we were talking about the influence of yeast and what I call the Nung. I've got a website called thenung.com, and if anybody's got any stories of how they defeated yeast issues in their body, I'll include it, send it to me, and I'll make an article out of it. Because there's many ways of fixing this, you know. And I believe, you know, it's a universal problem, you know, not just on this planet, but I think everywhere it's an issue. And in a way, it could be some kind of basic, alien AI that is working through these fungus type beings. You know, not all funguses are good, are they? So bringing back, I was going to say this thing about awakening 12 strands. Some of these strands have been put to sleep. And I believe that they've been put to sleep by certain toxins and certain harmonic frequencies. What do you think of that?
Of course. Well, that is what I was trying to say, that it was different forms of manipulation. So external situations already named, archonic soul bounty hunting, from previous lives, and that can be dealt with completely different remedies. It's very loud, this chat room. I need to shut it.
Yeah, you need to. So go down to the. Let's all do it together now. Let's go down to the bottom right of the chat room box, and you see the number at the moment is 72, 73, something, 74, changing all the time. And then to the left of it, you see a little loudspeaker. Click on that, and it will have three options, and the bottom one is never. And then you...
I did that.
There you very go. Lovely. And, thank you.
So the different forms of manipulations are these forms that try to numb the senses that were source given initially. And we're cranked down by all these different factors through spiritual, more deliberate targeting. Well, Jasmine is a targeted individual, T.I. You know, this is what the movie is about. Like we said, biochemistry, alchemy, and spiritual current and past lives. It's such a topic that I really don't know how to even break it down anymore. Like I said, when she comes to the realization that it's connected to past lives, so I don't know, did you see the hypnosis scene in the movie? It was...
Keep going, but the audience hasn't, so...
Uh-huh. So
you need to paint a little picture for them.
Of course, so hypnosis is a remedy to deal with these problems. If you have archonic soul bounty hunting, then it's connected to subconsciousness. It's all, we're all sort of like programmable. And what is the best way to create chaos? It's to make yourself become your own worst enemy. That is the thing. So when TIs talk about gang stalking, then you know, the idea is that your hologram and the way you see things is it's amplified. Everything, all your emotions are amplified, and this is done in a very sophisticated way, designed and orchestrated. So hypnosis, when you're doing theta healing, it heals the DNA skin suit body, so the muscle testing with the index finger and thumb is you're healing your trauma, current life trauma from childhood to the current point. But hypnosis, you can lean into much deeper levels. That's why you can connect to the source. So the hypnosis scene in the movie is the real life happened, a real life incident, I mean. So very, very recommended. And I didn't do an additional scene how to do proper healing, you know. Recognizing a problem, those two scenes. But I thought that I'm not going to put in a healing session. There's no point for that because everyone will have their own technique and way. And hypnosis theta healing is very different. I practice theta healing myself. But anyway, so if you're dealing
Can you just say it very slowly and clearly, what the word you're saying? Something healing.
Theta healing. T-H-E-T-A. Theta.
Oh, theta. Theta. Sorry. It doesn't come across very well on that mic, that's all. It's really weird because I think the percussion of the first part of it causes the thing to do its quieting and it alters the sound. So theta. Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. So what is theta healing or theta? Is it, it's like, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, theta. Yeah.
It's, you can use the pulsing sounds as well. Alpha, gamma, theta, delta, and but it's muscle testing that you were explaining earlier. So it is the index finger and thumb. So you are asking certain types of questions, and then you are reprogramming your understanding of that problem. So when you're asking a question about some conflict or anger between towards a family member, then you're going to start gradually building up a case. It's like an investigation. So what do you think of this? Why do you think you feel this anger towards this person? Do you think it's connected to that? So, you know, the muscle testing is going to come in this case and it's going to give you the answer and indication. What is the source of the problem? But more importantly, I don't know, I mentioned the Archon, soul bounty hunting. So this is a very important problem that can absolutely destroy lives.
Exactly. How do you recognize that you're the subject of, let me just say, archonic soul bounty hunting? Okay, so it's the archonic bounty hunters who hunt souls, right? Let's just get all the order of this thing in there. And it's an evolution. They're a being, and they feed. You know, they're feeding on something that emits from us. It's not, they don't actually eat us, but they eat on something that comes off us. It's like you're saying, that atmosphere thing. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's actually very interesting because the reduction of the population is arguable. Why would they want to eliminate their food source? Emotions are energy and they feed off that. So the more the merrier, the more people on. So there's a war going on between different sectors. So
different factions, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Different cultures, different entities, whatever.
Actually, the word culture, we're talking about words with multiple meanings. The word culture can mean, like there's the ancient Greek culture with their urns and their pillars and stuff. And a culture is also something that grows on your coffee if you've left it for a few weeks. I think it's an interesting comparison that it's driven by one entity kind of reproducing itself insanely.
Absolutely. So let's say the war between Archonic and the Draconian agenda, these are two different factions, two different, how can I say, entities. Because Archons are more sort of like,
yeah, how would you characterize an Archon? Are they physical people in your world? Like there's George down the road and he's an Archon, or do they step into people like Mr. Smith from the Matrix? Or how do you encounter them? How does one encounter Archons?
They are more sort of like gray looking like entities with let's say reptilian eyes. So they are more like higher already advanced, not a draconian Dracula from like they say Transylvania. They're decreasing in their amounts. Obviously, there is only apparently a handful of draconian. But I would say that if a negative walk-in would happen, it can happen from both of them. It can happen. I wouldn't say a draconian. Actually, a draconian would do a walk-in, and as well a archonic sort of a. They're not able to resonate really in this plane. They need to have a local host here, so they would do a walk-in into a local human, and that is why people are witnessing shape-shifting, etc., because they're not able to sustain all the time, and there's something happening with the local frequency, some eruptions. So people who are more spiritual and elevated in their development, they will recognize a change in this individual who has had a walk-in from these entities. And that is in a way what walk-in, my first movie, was about: hierarchy, negative walk-ins, not positive. There are positive walk-ins and downloads as well, but with these entities, I doubt there would be. With the reptilian agenda, I have to say that there is a very interesting agenda within that in itself, that I'm writing a new feature movie now, and it's going to a little bit discuss that. So there is a little bit of misinformation going on, of course, because there are as well, as we know, positive reptilians, and this used to be their home. So the attack on only them has been orchestrated by, let's say, archonic gray-like entity, because there is a war going on between these armies. And that's why now when you are a TI, something is alleviating, you're not getting the hit as you were getting it around 2009 and 8. In my opinion, it was pretty high then. And that is, many people are saying around 2008 and 2009, something was happening, like they started to see colors, something felt like the leash around their neck was getting lighter. So I think that is when the war started between these armies, and they were too preoccupied to really focus and concentrate on you. So if you were targeted soul by previous lives by an Archon, then your life problems started to get better, because when you are in that predicament, I really say it's a terrible thing. Everything is wrong. Relationships, finance, love, health, everything is off. All the tabs will close. They will close all your tabs, all your livelihood and resources. And that is the predicament that so many people have been living in. And it's a terrible thing. And
it's hard to find out where to start, isn't it? It's like, what do you do first? Cause like the first thing people want to do is like, oh, I'll go to the police. Good idea. No, because they're in on it. Everybody's in on it. All the professionals, you know, everybody from your banker to your psychiatrist to your doctor to your policeman, they're all in on it, you know, and so you can't run to them, and they have this whole thing. Who do you run to? Yeah, to invoke a sense of helplessness. But here's the thing. There's a question from the chat room. Several questions. The first one is
Stephen. Now, yes.
Yeah. Now this is from Kevin. I must wonder why do you have addressed this movie to a person who has no choice but to look for the last source and is desperate not to a common. All right, and is desperate rather than to a common human who is healthy but not awakened. So, yeah, how come your character had to be in such an extreme position?
But these extreme positions exist. You know, when you're an individual that you're not able to hold a job, that you feel like the gang stalking is happening and you're absolutely, wherever you walk in, chaos happens. You have a certain effect on people. You've been implanted with energy. Genetic implant that people have an immediate negative reaction to you, no matter what you say and do, and all due to that, that you're not able to form healthy, positive relationships with anyone, is going to absolutely destroy every aspect of your life, and you're not able to take care and look after yourself. So Jasmine turned to drugs. She turned to alcohol. She was an addict, you know, these are the kind of individuals that walk through the medical psychologist store every day, you know, and they don't understand what is happening, and all they're being told is pop a pill and all your problems will go away. So the antidepressant is another agenda that will break you. It's a very dangerous drug. And what she started to do was she had something very positive happens in her life. Let's call it a download, right? So that has been happening now. People have been reporting about the download. Suddenly they start to see colors. When Jasmine woke up after a very interesting incident in one scene, she woke up, she looked out of the window, and she saw the black helicopter, and she started to see colors, because the first 4 or 5 scenes in her life, they were all black and white. That is how I edited it. Her life was black and white, but when she woke up that morning, the sky was blue, birds were singing. Something, people are reporting, something comes to their rescue. It's a universal law. So there are new kids on the block, another scene in the movie where she meets a woman in a blue dress. These are the new kids on the block. They're humanoids, and they come from a place anyways, it will give an indication where they're coming from when you listen to the background. It's a tone. It's that is their name. It's a tone. So so something going on, and people are reporting that when life was chaos, now suddenly problems are starting to resolve. I mean,
I've noticed that there are really good things happening, and then there are really crazily stupid, terrible things happening.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure if you know, but I regularly interview Alex Collier on a webinar basis. And on Friday, he was saying that this is the character of what's going to be happening in the next few months, is that we're going to be seeing really terrible things, and then some really, really good things. and some terrible things, and then some really, really, really good things, and then some things, and then some really, really, really good things. So it's like the terrible is kind of fading out, as if you're slowly fading it away on your mixer fader. This is due to the timelines emerging. Do you cover, I can't remember if you'd covered timelines. Did you get into parallels and stuff like that?
Sorry, I was reading the questions. What was he saying?
Parallels and timelines.
That 2017 is going to be imprinted into the.
Well, in 2017, that there will be the merging of a disastrous timeline and the very good timeline.
It was emerging last year, yes. So synchronicity was bringing you back to every single family member in every scenario where you had been before, and it was giving you a choice. What are you going to do now, Jay? Are you going to do a loving, positive choice? Or are you going to do the same choice that you did last time? And it was last year, and this time, 2017, now it's all manifesting in front of our eyes. Because it already started 2003, the splitting of the cell, the positive and the negative world, the splitting of the two cells. So now they designed very cleverly the elections and everything. So everything is... You know, it's all very cleverly orchestrated, dates and lane lines and timelines merging, and it's all happening. It's going to be, yeah, I agree with that, actually.
Yeah, because, although it's not over yet, we still have to do the work because... We every day have to deal with the same things. You know, we every day, every single person on this planet has to deal in some way with a dramatic situation that they need to overcome. And it's getting like this every day. You know, there's some terrible drama. Somebody dies. Somebody has an accident. You know, you have to change, you know, life-changing events happen more and more every day to people, and if you don't roll with it, it'll roll over you.
The thing is that when you're looking at the negative things happening, what is happening when the splitting in the cell, then this is not this is already a repeated theory. You are, when you turn the TV on and you see the terrible wars going on, I'm very saddened about it because I have family living in Yemen and I'm partially Yemeni myself. So when I look at these things happening to my family, and so it is, you're looking at it from the television. You're looking at that negative reality. Unfortunately, everybody's going to stay with what they created. So it's so important now. Yeah, last year was a terrible year. I lost a friend, Max Spears. Many bad things were happening last year in my personal life, and very good things were happening. It was a year I will never, ever forget. 2016, the monkey year, fire monkey. Now, the thing is that the knocks were coming to below the belt. So, they were really, you know, testing us. And it was so important to stay a high frequency. So that's why in Awakening is 12 Strands, I know I'm not perfect. I never said I know everything, but in those moments, like Jasmine, when she closed her eyes and she meditated, you are connecting to the source and you need to keep that high frequency, and you will know what is right and what is the truth. And we already, all of us know this, what is going to be the right choice. It's going to be a more loving, positive future, a reality. So, unfortunately, when you're looking at that negative stuff, it's very, very interesting, Jay. I have to say, I talk to people from, as well, Middle East, Israel, and political backgrounds and average people. They say that everything that is displayed in the media is amplified and absolutely not true. That in Israel, the Palestinian and Israeli get on with each other very well. Even their kids marry each other and they do business together. So all the stuff that you're seeing in the media, this is just to keep you in that dense and low frequency. Okay? So don't believe the hype. Just make up your own mind and make sure that what you're looking at is true than what you're being told.
It's all to do with intent and where you place your heart and how you focus. I mean, it, you know, people talk about focusing the mind. I talk about focusing the heart, you know, cause like if you can focus your heart, say exactly, you know, what do I need? What do I want in this moment? It will almost, you know, manifest before you, you know, or somebody will call you up and say, oh, I don't want this thing, you know, or whatever it needs. So, you mentioned, Dear Max, right? And let's step out into that territory because this is probably going to, you know, be clipped and be sent out. Just before Max's passing event, let's just call it that way, you know, rather than giving it any name. He said they're going to try and break our hearts.
Yes.
I remember him very distinctly saying that.
And
that week, I had a heartbreaking event. However, I turned it round and I discovered something very important in that. Uh-huh. So, it's all very good. And the thing is that if we take that event, you know, for instance, we lose a brother like Max, right?
Yes.
We take that event and make a controversy and get into it and like who did it and blah, 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 then we're missing the point. The point is that you have to go in, you have to feel that loss. You have to feel how much it actually bloody hurts to lose somebody who you love so much. And you hold it and you sit with that feeling. It hurts.
Yes.
But if you can hold it and move through it and allow the tears to come and grieve it, you realize that the grief is not just about Max. It's about something much bigger and much older. And it took me personally all the way back. So,
yeah.
Can I say to you, what would be your reaction to what I just said? Because I turned that rather negative situation and instead of going into the controversy and talking about him or the event, I used that feeling because I had a parallel event that went on. So what's your feeling?
This is exactly how healing happens. You embrace that.
Precisely.
You embrace that. It's called shadow work. So you're literally running towards that situation of feeling in any chaos and you embrace it. You're not going to run the other way. You're going to run towards it, right towards it and dive deep into it and explore it. So, I completely 100% agree with you. Yes. And so.
The feeling, I mean, it was, you know, whatever happens, you know, people who tell the truth and who are about to reveal the truth, you know, I believe, you know, people talk, you know, I've put it in the chat room before, that Jimi Hendrix, right? Jimi Hendrix was murdered because he knew a truth. And he was about to tell everybody. And, I believe that Linda Eastman told Jimmy what that truth was. And, that's why he's now dead. Mm-hmm. Like lots of other people, John Lennon as well. So. This is a different matter, but it's the same people. And they got the same MO.
The thing is that, now, that's it. So, you know, Max personally, I sense that he's not dead. Cause I'm a firm believer in life after death. So he was definitely around at least. Jimi Hendrix, Martin Luther King, John F. Kennedy from those times, the universal free will law was really violated because everything that was supposed to be happening in the 60s now has 10 volts is happening now, bang. Because after the 60s, the Coca-Cola amnesia era came on, the 80s, memory wipe. You don't need any more plague to wipe everybody's memory. You just need a bit of sprinkling with whatever, Coca-Cola, like I said. So the soul bounty hunting, if they eliminated these good people, you cannot eliminate them because the soul will remember. In an awakening of Toast Rands, Jasmine starts to remember because there was something connected to her past lives. And it will reincarnate and it will somehow, some way, that grass through the asphalt will grow through, you know? And that's the soul. So it's going to remember regardless. And now I have to say that last year, I think it was I said during June that there's a big bang coming. I kept telling people and, I don't know. I'm pretty sensitive as well, to be honest. Anyways, guys, people will know about it. They listen to my other interviews, what I use, how to kind of amplify your senses, psychic senses. But anyways, last year was this kind of year. It was the last bang because they're running out of time. So they're throwing anything at us that they can to keep the frequency low. And it was so important to rise above that, like you said. You need to embrace that regardless.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of these things. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And if you take the appropriate attitude that, okay, this is a training exercise, it's all training, whatever, you know, don't imagine that other people are not going through their training, that this is part of transcending the physical. Well, like you were saying, we have the founder of All Spirit Radio, Dave Corso, and I built this station, and you know, we worked together for several years, and then he died, and he's still here, and he's the Wolf Spirit, you see, and you know, he named it kind of prophetically in a way. He didn't know that this is what was going to happen. But this must be part of his agreement. And, you know, from the other side, he does his work. It's a very interesting situation. And it may be very possible that the entity that lived in the body we call Max,
mm-hmm.
Is likewise working on the other side too.
Yes,
because that's what super soldiers can do. They would train to do it because they train to step outside your body. So what happens if you step outside of your body and your body has disappeared? Do you cease to exist? No, you're the consciousness that lives in there. So anyway.
Very true, yes.
My thoughts about Max and, you know, nothing but blessings. You know?
Nothing but blessings, absolutely. He was a good man. And he's still around, so people are continuing his message, the attack on the human heart. So it's already in process, and we can't stop because we won't stop. I'm sounding like...
Well, you can't stop a beach ball from rising to the surface of the water.
Absolutely.
You know, it's gonna not stop. because, you know, it's just the, it, that's just the way it is. And that's what truth is. You can't, you just got, it's like air, right? You know, it just won't be stopped.
Very well said, Jay. Thank you so much.
So, okay, we're about, you know, 8 minutes out from the end of the show. It's been quite a journey. I think, people, this is one of these subjects, and like I was saying, you know, with
go on for another 10 hours.
And it's hard to approach it because it's such, it's like, you know, what is this? You know, oh, I can feel these kind of great, big gray pillars, you know, and somebody else feels this, oh, you know, I can feel this kind of gray, soft, long thing, you know, and somebody, oh, I got a thin ropey thing. Oh, what's this? You know, and, oh, this is like a big gray wall, you know, and you know, nobody can see because far enough away because they're feeling an elephant, you know. And so it's hard when you're in it. And I'm talking about T.I. and, these gang stalking things and, not only gang stalking, but the way that the powers that be have all worked together in the past and in the present to hold us in an illusion and hold us in certain fears and certain limitations. Who can you run to? Well, who can you run to? You can run to yourself. You can go inside because all of their energy is about, bringing, your attention and awareness outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So in the final moments, will you like to, help people along their journeys to back within, in your own way?
In Guinea, a movie, there is I have these vocals, so anyways, I was stating that it's just the ongoing process, and the most important thing is to decide. And when you've decided already to tune into this show, this is already a big step, you know? And this is already connecting you to the answers to your questions, so to speak. So if you're seeking answers and you're already listening to the show and you're doing your research, then, you know, that in my opinion, that is amazing. So that is all you need. You know, there is actually, unfortunately, seems like there is no wrong or right. So when you decided even to come to this planet and exist here and live these experiences, I'm going to definitely integrate that in the new project. That this is a beautiful, kind of like illusion simultaneously existing in the past, present, and future. So in Awakening of 12 Strands, I highlight that you're able to change absolutely anything in your life. You're able to rectify any mistake, any decision you have made. You're able to go back to it and change it and manifest the reality that you actually want to live in, that you are not manipulated to live in, that you clearly, consciously want to be in, and you want to kind of build that as your true reality. Very important. You can change at any moment in time. This is my message.
Thanks very much. So, Sandra Doroy, The Awakening of 12 Strands, the movie on Facebook and on Vimeo. I think that's about.
Add me on Facebook, guys. Sandra Daroy. If you just put in the search engine on Facebook, Sandra Daroy, Delta Apple Romeo Oscar Yellow.
Good Yankee. There you go. There you go. Brilliant. hang on. I'll just put your There's your Facebook. There we go. So I'll just put that in the chat room there as well. So there you go. There we go. So thank you very much, Sandra. And this was Ever Beyond. And up next is Frank Jordan and the World Healers. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.